From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
It was, to be sure, an unusual sight. Even in a world that's growing accustomed to seeing cartoon audiences at baseball games, the celebratory atmosphere at a convention that didn't occur was broadcast coast to coast on Tuesday night.
Thank you to all our delegations. I'm pleased to announce that Vice President Joe Biden has officially been nominated by the Democratic Party as our candidate for President of the United States. Vice President Biden is hereby invited to deliver an acceptance speech.
But despite the festivities, Biden declined.
Well, thank you very, very much. From the bottom of my heart, thank you all. It means the world to me and my family. And I'll see you on Thursday. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
However, the Bidens did contribute a pre-recorded message from the spouse of the candidate, Dr. Jill Biden.
I have always loved the sounds of a classroom, the quiet that sparks with possibility just before students shuffle in, the murmur of ideas bouncing back and forth as we explore the world together, the laughter and tiny moments of surprise you find in materials you've taught a million times. When I taught English here at Brandywine High School, I would spend my summer preparing for the school year about to start, filled with anticipation. But this quiet is heavy. You can hear the anxiety that echoes down empty hallways. There's no scent of new notebooks or freshly waxed floors. The rooms are dark as the bright young faces that should fill them are now confined to boxes on a computer screen. I hear it from so many of you, the frustration of parents juggling work while they support their children's learning, or are afraid that their kids might get sick from school. The concern of every person working without enough protection. The despair in the lines that stretch out before food banks. And the indescribable sorrow that follows every lonely last breath when the ventilators turn off. As a mother and a grandmother, as an American, I am heartbroken by the magnitude of this loss, by the failure to protect our communities, by every precious and irreplaceable life gone. Like so many of you, I'm left asking, how do I keep my family safe? You know, motherhood came to me in a way I never expected. I fell in love with a man and two little boys standing in the wreckage of unthinkable loss, mourning a wife and mother, a daughter and sister. I never imagined at the age of 26, I would be asking myself, how do you make a broken family whole? Still, Joe always told the boys, "Mommy sent Jill to us." And how could I argue with her? And so we figured it out together in those big moments that would go by too fast, Thanksgivings and state championships, birthdays and weddings, in the mundane ones that we didn't even know were shaping our lives, reading stories piled on the couch, rowdy Sunday dinners and silly arguments, listening to the faint sounds of laughter that would float downstairs as Joe put the kids to bed every night, while I studied for grad school or graded papers under the pale yellow kitchen lamp, the dinner dishes waiting in the sink. We found that love holds a family together. Love makes us flexible and resilient. It allows us to become more than ourselves, together. And though it can't protect us from the sorrows of life, it gives us refuge, a home. How do you make a broken family whole? The same way you make a nation whole. With love and understanding, and with small acts of kindness, with bravery, with unwavering faith. You show up for each other in big ways and small ones, again and again. It's what so many of you are doing right now for your loved ones, for complete strangers, for your communities. There are those who want to tell us that our country is hopelessly divided, that our differences are irreconcilable. But that's not what I've seen over these last few months. We're coming together and holding on to each other. We're finding mercy and grace in the moments we might have once taken for granted. We're seeing that our differences are precious and our similarities infinite. We have shown that the heart of this nation still beats with kindness and courage. That's the soul of America Joe Biden is fighting for now. After our son Beau died of cancer, I wondered if I would ever smile or feel joy again. It was summer, but there was no warmth left for me. 4 days after Beau's funeral, I watched Joe shave and put on his suit. I saw him steel himself in the mirror, take a breath, put his shoulders back, and walk out into a world empty of our son. He went back to work. That's just who he is. There are times when I couldn't even imagine how he did it, how he put one foot in front of the other and kept going. But I've always understood why he did it. For the daughter who convinces her mom to finally get a breast cancer screening and misses work to drive her to the clinic. For the community college student who has faced homelessness and survived abuse, but finds the grit to finish her degree and make a good life for her kids. For the little boy whose mom is serving as a Marine in Iraq, who puts on a brave face in his video call and doesn't complain when the only thing he wants for his birthday is to be with her. For all those people Joe gives his personal phone number to at rope lines and events, the ones he talks to for hours after dinner, helping them smile through their loss, letting them know that they aren't alone. He does it for you. Joe's purpose has always driven him forward. His strength of will is unstoppable, and his faith is unshakable, because it's not in politicians or political parties or even in himself. It's in the providence of God. His faith is in you, in us. Yes, so many classrooms are quiet right now. The playgrounds are still. But if you listen closely, you can hear the sparks of change in the air. Across this country, educators, parents, first responders, Americans of all walks of life are putting their shoulders back, fighting for each other. We haven't given up. We just need leadership worthy of our nation, worthy of you, honest leadership to bring us back together, to recover from this pandemic and prepare for whatever else is next. Leadership to reimagine what our nation will be. That's Joe. He and Kamala will work as hard as you do every day to make this nation better. And if I have the honor of serving as your First Lady, I will too. And with Joe as president, these classrooms will ring out with laughter and possibility once again. The burdens we carry are heavy, and we need someone with strong shoulders. I know that if we entrust this nation to Joe, he will do for your family what he did for ours. Bring us together and make us whole. Carry us forward in our time of need. Keep the promise of America for all of us.
Great job. Hey, everyone. I'm Jill Biden's husband. As you heard tonight, you can see why she's the love of my life, the rock of our family. She never gives herself much credit, but the truth is, she's the strongest person I know. She's a backbone like a ramrod. She loves fiercely, cares deeply. Nothing stops her when she sets her mind to getting something right. And, you know, for all of you out there across the country, just think of your favorite educator who gave you the confidence to believe in yourself. That's the kind of first lady, this Jill Biden will be. God love you.
A pre-recorded message was also played from Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Hi, this is Senator Chuck Schumer, Democratic leader from my hometown, Brooklyn, New York. Behind me is a sight I see out of my window every night, the Statue of Liberty. The same site that greeted hopeful immigrants like my grandparents, a symbol of freedom and a beacon of hope to the world. Today, Donald Trump has divided our country, diminished our greatness, and demeaned everything that this statue represents. He even hid in a bunker as Americans were tear gassed and beaten. Millions are jobless, 170,000 Americans have died from COVID, and Donald Trump says, it is what it is. President should never say it is what it is. President Lincoln, honoring the great sacrifice at Gettysburg, didn't say it is what it is. President Roosevelt, seeing a third of the nation ill-housed, ill-clad, and ill-nourished, didn't say it is what it is. America, Donald Trump has quit on you. We need a president with dignity, integrity, and the experience to lead us out of this crisis. A man with a steady hand and a big heart who will never, ever quit on America. That man is my friend, Joe Biden. He will be a great president. But if we're going to win this battle for the soul of our nation, Joe can't do it alone. Democrats must take back the Senate. We will stay united, from Sanders and Warren to Manchin and Warner. And with our unity, we will bring bold and dramatic change to our country. Let me tell you some of the things we do. With President Biden, Vice President Harris, and a Democratic majority, we will make health care affordable for all. We'll undo the vicious inequality of income and wealth that has plagued America for far too long, and we'll take strong, decisive action to combat climate change and save the planet. We will protect voting rights, fight systemic racism in the criminal justice system and in our economy, and restore a Supreme Court that looks out for people, not corporations. We'll rebuild our infrastructure and make sure every home, from inner city to rural America, has broadband. We will save the post office and once and for all defeat COVID-19, this evil disease. And, beckoned by the lady behind us, we will reform our immigration system so that immigrants yearning to breathe free will at last become American citizens. Together, we can reignite the hope once felt by millions of men and women, huddled masses on creaking ships, who glimpsed this mighty woman with her torch, knowing they could build a better life here in America. And out of this long national nightmare, America will finally awaken to a brighter future and a new day.
And of course, when bringing in a new day, there's no better way to do it than by summoning up the spirits of the past. This was former President Bill Clinton's videotaped contribution to Tuesday night's edition of the Democratic National Convention TV show.
Good evening. A presidential election is the world's most important job interview. At the end, we hire a leader to help us solve problems, create opportunities, and give our kids better tomorrows. That's a tall order this year. With the COVID-19 outbreak on a path to killing 200,000 people and destroying millions of jobs and small businesses. How did Donald Trump respond? At first, he said the virus was under control and would soon disappear. When it didn't, he was on TV every day bragging on what a great job he was doing, while our scientists waited to give us vital information. When he didn't like the expert advice he was given, he ignored it. Only when COVID exploded in even more states did he encourage people to wear masks. By then, many more were dying. When asked about the surge in deaths, he shrugged and said, "It is what it is." But did it have to be this way? No. COVID hit us much harder than it had to. We have just 4% of the world's population, but 25% of the world's COVID cases. Our unemployment rate is more than twice as high as South Korea's, 2.5 times the United Kingdom's, more than 3 times Japan's. Donald Trump says we're leading the world. Well, we are the only major industrial economy to have its unemployment rate tripled. At a time like this, the Oval Office should be a command center. Instead, it's a storm center. There's only chaos. Just one thing never changes: his determination to deny responsibility and shift the blame. The buck never stops there. Now you have to decide whether to renew his contract or hire someone else. If you want a president who defines the job as spending hours a day watching TV and zapping people on social media, he's your man. Denying, distracting, and demeaning works great if you're trying to entertain or inflame. But in a real crisis, it collapses like a house of cards. COVID just doesn't respond to any of that. To beat it, you've got to actually go to work and deal with the facts. Our party is united in offering you a very different choice: a go-to-work president, a down-to-earth, get-the-job-done guy, a man with a mission to take responsibility, not shift the blame, concentrate, not distract, unite, not divide. Our choice is Joe Biden. Joe helped bring us back from a recession before, and he can do it again. In 2009, Barack Obama and Joe Biden started with the worst economy since the Great Depression. And when they were done, they delivered more than 6 straight years of job growth. What did Joe do? He accepted responsibility for implementing the Recovery Act. His work created a lot of new jobs and started many new companies in communities across our country. Now Joe's committed to building America back again. How? He's given us smart, detailed plans to invest in areas vital to our future: innovative financing for modern factories and small businesses, good jobs in green energy and conservation to combat climate change, a modern infrastructure that brings small town and rural America the connectivity and investment others take for granted, and a plan to ensure that Black Americans, Latino Americans, Native Americans, women, immigrants, and other communities left behind are full participants in our economy and our society. Joe Biden wants to build an economy far better suited to our changing world. Better for young people. Better for families working and raising their kids. Better for people who lost jobs and need new ones. Better for farmers tired of being collateral damage in trade wars. Better for workers caring for the sick, elderly, and people with disabilities. Better because of a living wage and access to affordable higher education and health care, including prescription drugs. And to child care, a secure retirement, and for the first time, paid family and medical leave. Joe won't just put his signature on a check and try to fool you into thinking it came from him. He'll work to make sure that your paycheck reflects your contribution to and your stake in a growing economy. In this job interview, the difference is stark. You know what Donald Trump will do with 4 more years: blame, bully, and belittle. And you know what Joe Biden will do: build back better. It's Trump's us versus them America against Joe Biden's America, where we all live and work together. It's a clear choice. The future of our country is riding on it. Thank you.
And although she had been promised 1 minute's airtime, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who's come to be known as AOC, actually was allocated 1 minute and 38 seconds.
Good evening, bienvenidos, and thank you to everyone here today endeavoring towards a better, more just future for our country and our world. In fidelity and gratitude to a mass people's movement working to establish 21st century social, economic, and human rights, including guaranteed health care, higher education, living wages, and labor rights for all people in the United States. A movement striving to recognize and repair the wounds of racial injustice, colonization, misogyny, and homophobia, and to propose and build reimagined systems of immigration and foreign policy that turn away from the violence and xenophobia of our past. A movement that realizes the unsustainable brutality of an economy that rewards explosive inequalities of wealth for the few at the expense of long-term stability for the many, and who organized a historic grassroots campaign to reclaim our democracy. In a time when millions of people in the United States are looking for deep, systemic solutions to our crises of mass evictions, unemployment, and lack of health care, en el espíritu del pueblo and out of a love for all people, I hereby second the nomination of Senator Bernard Sanders of Vermont for President of the United States of America.
Tuesday's production of the DNC TV show did not rely on music videos. It offered a virtual version of the roll call from the floor that takes place at presidential conventions. This is a sample of the virtual nominations that were offered during Tuesday's program.
Alabama casts 8 votes for Bernie Sanders, and the great state of Alabama casts 52 votes for our next president of these United States, Joe Biden.
Alaska.
The waters we rely on to feed our families and make a living are threatened by climate change. When Joe Biden was vice president, he and President Obama made sure Alaska's tribes had a say on how these waters were managed. Donald Trump took it away. We must elect a president who will respect our voices, protect our waters, and address climate change. Alaska cast 7 votes for Bernie Sanders and 12 votes for the next president, Joe Biden.
American Samoa.
Joe Biden honors our service, and we trust him to support our community. As vice president, he helped expand rural infrastructure to communities like ours, broadening our economic capacity. As president, he will continue to strengthen rural America from New England to the Pacific.
On behalf of the Governor Lolo Matalasi Molina and the American Samoa Democratic Party, we proudly cast 11 votes for our next president of the United States of America, Joe Biden.
Arizona.
As a middle school teacher, I know that public educators are doing everything they can to make sure our students have quality learning experiences this fall. As a mother of a high school freshman, I know that it's far from perfect. As an NEA union organizer, I'll fight to make sure that it's scientists, parents, and educators that decide when it's safe to go back to school, not politicians. As an Arizona Latina, I proudly cast our votes, 29 for Bernie Sanders and 51 for our next president, Joe Biden.
Arkansas.
Feeding people is an act of love, and I think we all can use a little extra love these days. So we took our food trucks out into the community to deliver meals made right here at the Clinton Presidential Center for our neighbors in need. Even when our leaders let us down, Americans kept looking out for each other. Arkansas cast 9 votes for Bernie Sanders and 27 votes for our next president, Joe Biden.
California.
Climate change is not a hoax. It's real. And communities of color have been bearing the brunt of this reality for generations.
Joe Biden's plan to crack down on polluters to protect our air and water is about environmental justice and economic justice.
He'll prioritize equity and bring new clean energy jobs to black and brown neighborhoods, because that is how we build back better.
California, home to our next vice president, Kamala Harris, cast 231 votes for Bernie Sanders
and 263 votes for our next president, Joe Biden.
Colorado.
Han and I grew up in poverty as immigrants, but we've been able to make a decent living. We're extremely lucky. But now we have 3 family members that tested positive for COVID, and it just doesn't feel safe to put Evan and Emma back to school. Distance learning is going to be hard on them and on us, but millions of working families will have it much harder. I know Joe Biden cares about these struggles, and that's why I trust him to fight for us. With one abstention, Colorado will cast 36 votes for Bernie Sanders and 42 for our next president, Joe Biden.
Connecticut.
Firefighters are proud to put our lives on the line every day to protect our neighbors. It's a badge of courage. But while we are protecting your family, we need a president who is committed to protecting ours, and that's Joe Biden. He has the courage we respect and the commitment to working Americans we need now. On behalf of our governor, Ned Lamont, I am honored to cast Connecticut 75 votes for our next president, Joe Biden.
Meanwhile, earlier in the day, President Trump attended two events, one honoring the anniversary of suffrage for women in the U.S., and the other, the third rally in 2 days, this one in Arizona.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. And, you know, considering that we caught President Obama and Sleepy Joe Biden spying on our campaign, treason, we'll probably be entitled to another 4 more years after that. I want to thank you and Art and Brandon. You're incredible. I've known you now a long time, right from the beginning. We had the chemistry. We had that good chemistry. I'll sit down. You know, it's 122 degrees in this place. And we have our great governor. Governor, can we make it a little bit, just a little? This is like a test. You think Joe Biden could do this? I don't think so. So I'm thrilled to be in Yuma, Arizona, to proudly accept the endorsement of the National Border Patrol Council. That's a big deal. And they are great friends of mine, and we're building the wall. We'll be up to, next week, we'll be up to 300 miles of incredible wall. Incredible. And our numbers are the best. We are very tough at the border. When people want to come in for our farmers, et cetera, we're not going to hurt our farmers. But we've never had better numbers than we have right now. And that's been helped because we're at a little bit over 280 miles right now. We have never been helped like this wall. There are two things in 1,000 years you can come back. Two things will never. You know, with technology, it's obsolete before you even put it in the box, right? But two things never get old. Wheels and walls, right? Wheels and walls. If you come back in 1,000 years, you'll say, well, we still have wheels and walls, and that's the only thing you'll recognize. The National Border Patrol Council is the official union representing the incredible heroes of the United States Border Patrol. They've been my friends from the beginning to every border agent, and I just met some unbelievable people backstage. These are great people. And to every family member here today, you have earned the everlasting gratitude of our nation, and I want to thank you very much. Thank you very much. As you know better than anyone, the survival of our nation is at stake in this election. And I will tell you, I never thought I'd say it because we had a great election. We had a great election a little while ago. 4 years ago, I never thought I'd say anything could compete with 2016. This election that we're going into is the most important election in the history of our country. Because we had crooked Hillary, but this is something, these people are sick, and we have to make sure that this radical left, socialist, and beyond, because this is beyond socialism, this is beyond socialism, that it doesn't happen, or we will indeed have Venezuela on steroids, so we can't do it. Most important election, November 3rd, get out and vote. Joe Biden is the puppet of the radical left-wing movement that seeks the complete elimination of America's borders and boundaries. They want to take the wall down. They don't want to have borders. They want to have sanctuary cities. Lots of bad things they want, following orders from his boss, I guess his new boss is Bernie Sanders. Can you believe that?
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.